Sisters and brothers, know that grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" So what is authority? Who has authority? Who can give authority? And how is authority given? Do you have authority? Has authority been given to you? Who do you have authority over? Who has authority over you? A person who has authority has the right to give orders, to make decisions, and the power to back up those orders and decisions. A person who has authority has the power to influence others and to tell others what to do. So the chief priests and the elders were upset. They're upset because Jesus came onto the scene and Jesus began messing with their authority. They're upset because he's messing with the way they've been accustomed to doing things. They must have thought to themselves, what gives him the right to do such things and to say such things? They thought, we're the chief priests, we're the authorities, we're the scribes, and our authority, we're the ones with authority, and our authority has been given to us by God himself. So they say to Jesus, who gave you this authority? Who gave you the authority to decide what we could or could not do on the Sabbath, or what we could or could not sell in the temple? And who do you think you are that you think that you have the authority to forgive sins? No one has the authority to forgive sins but God alone. Who does this guy think that he is? So, as a new vicar, if I were to go up to Pastor Minitree and say, hey, you know, buddy, I really like your office. It has nice bookshelves and air conditioning, and it even has a nice little bathroom. And, you know, my office, you know, it's nice, but, you know, the Wi-Fi signal isn't too strong. And, well, anyway, I want you to move into my office because I'm taking yours. Don't think that'd go over very well. Because I would be overstepping my authority. I think if I did that, I think I would get visits from the church council and probably phone calls from the seminary asking that same question. By whose authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? And really, I would have no answer, because I would have been claiming for myself an authority which was not rightfully mine. And that's exactly what the chief priests and the elders think that Jesus was doing, claiming an authority that was not his own. And so they ask him that question, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? And really, it's a perfectly legitimate question. Jesus' words and actions would be suspect unless he had been given authority. And from their perspective, Jesus is just a simple peasant from Galilee speaking as though he had authority, but not just any authority. Ultimate authority, the authority of God. You know, one way you can think of authority is to think of one with authority as the author. The author is the one who has authority. Or authority can only be given by the author. For example, the author of a book gives the publishing company the authority to print her words. Religious authority belongs to no one but God. In fact, God is the author of all life. God is the author of all existence, all creation, so all authority in heaven and on earth belongs only to God. And so from the perspective of the chief priests and the elders, not only is Jesus subverting, undermining the authority, their own authority, but they think that they've caught Jesus red-handed subverting the authority of God. God had spoken all things into existence from nothing by the power of his word, and so all creation, all authority over creation belongs to its creator. And the chief priests, the elders, they knew that. They knew that God had authored Scripture, and so God has authority in the Scripture's interpretation, but what they didn't know was that Jesus was God. In today's epistle lesson from Philippians 2, St. Paul tells us about Jesus' divine authority. Here we see the way in which Jesus used his authority and how Jesus' use of authority informs our own identities as Christians, especially when we find ourselves in positions of authority. I'll read that again from Philippians 2, where Paul says, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." So picture this. The world that God created has gone fiercely astray from God's intent. In our sin, in our fall, humanity has introduced perversion into God's perfect world. We chose slavery to sin and death rather than obedience to our Creator. And how does God choose to heal this broken world? He leaves the glory of heaven and enters into this harsh world as a vulnerable child. He suffers unthinkable wrong and finally dies the gruesome and publicly humiliating execution of a criminal, even death on a cross. That doesn't mean that he lost his authority. Because this is how Jesus demonstrates his authority. This is how God demonstrates his authority on the cross, by emptying himself. Not by hoarding everything that he had for himself, but giving it away generously. Jesus demonstrates his authority by being a servant. You might think one with authority would command his servants to cater to his every whim, but Jesus serves. Jesus demonstrates his authority by being born into the human experience. Not by staying far away from our problems, which he certainly could have, but he comes amidst them. Jesus demonstrates his authority by his obedience to the point of death, even death on a cross. And in his divine authority, he didn't have to choose the cross. Maybe he could have chosen an easier and less painful way. A friend of mine once put it this way. He said God could have sent Jesus to come and bake cupcakes for our salvation, but God chose the cross. So why did God choose the cross? Well, look at the Old Testament reading that we read today from Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse 26, God says, "When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die." And we have all certainly turned from righteousness. We have rebelled against God's authority in the Garden of Eden, disobeying God's command and attempting to undermine God's authority. And daily we continue to turn from righteousness. We transgress God's law. And God's word to Ezekiel in verse 26, makes it abundantly clear. You sin, you die because of it. But check out verse 32 in chapter 18. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone. So turn and live. And, well, we couldn't turn to God, so in Christ, God turned to us. See, Jesus comes and Jesus steals those wages of sin that we had earned. He bears the full judgment of God that we had merited. He dies the death that we deserved. He did it out of mercy. Certainly, God had the authority to say to us, no, suffer the consequences of your sin. You earned it. But because of his grace, Jesus suffered those consequences of our sin in our place. Jesus took our sin upon himself, and he gives us his own righteousness. And those who are in Christ are justified to God as a free gift of grace. And so God, who has brought all things into existence, is the author of all things, his authority over all creation, demonstrates his authority not by force or coercion or beating people up, but by his own vulnerability, by his own presence in our sinful world, by letting us beat him up and nail him up. And then the author of life shows us his authority over life by destroying death by death and rising forth, bursting forth from the grave in resurrection life. What amazing grace! What undeserved mercy. And St. Paul says that this is what the new life of the church looks like. He's overjoyed that the Philippians have received these gifts of God, but he says his joy would be complete if the fruits of those gifts grew in their own lives. So whatever we receive from Christ overflows from us to our neighbors. So have you received comfort from the Father's love? As he says, give love. Have you received encouragement from Christ? Give encouragement. Have you received affection or sympathy from participation in the Spirit? Be a participant in the lives of those around you. Give affection. Give sympathy. All authority on heaven and earth certainly had been given to Jesus. Certainly he had it in the beginning. As St. John puts it, when the Word became flesh, in the beginning when the Word was with God and the Word was God. But Jesus didn't let that authority go to his head. As Paul says, Jesus did nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility he gave himself for the life of the world. Jesus humbles himself and in so doing reveals the character of God, who though he was God in all his power and authority and all that belonged to him, he joined us in the last place we'd expect to find one to whom all power and authority belonged. He joined us in the last place we'd expect to find God. I mean, we'd expect to find God in glory and power, and yet we find God on the cross. When God deals with the problem of sin and death, he doesn't remain aloof and say to humanity, well, you really messed that up. You'd better get yourself out of that mess. No, God enters into our mess, into the midst of us, even with our problems of sin and death, and he takes that death that was justly ours and gives us his life. The grand mystery of the Christian faith is that Jesus demonstrates his authority over sin, death, and Satan by apparently letting them defeat him. And this seems completely counterintuitive to our ideas of what it means for someone to have authority. I mean, don't those in positions of authority command subservience? Don't those in positions of authority avoid inconvenience? Don't those in positions of authority demand what's owed to them down to the last penny? Don't those in positions of authority exercise self-defense rather than dying an undeserved death? One in authority certainly has the right to hold us accountable to our transgressions against God's law, against our debts and our guilts. But in Christ, God offers forgiveness for you. Our sinless Savior died the death that we all deserved. The King of Kings came to serve, not to be served. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to give his life as a ransom for you, for your forgiveness. In his name, amen.